Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the beginning of time, when God created the heavens and the earth, on the sixth day, He created man from the dust of the ground, from the minerals of the earth. And we are told in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2 that God breathed into him breath. He breathed into him the spirit of life so that man became a living being, a creation unlike anything that God had created. Man was made in the image of God, with a personality, with creativity, with the capacity to think and to reason, with the capacity to feel emotion, to love, to choose to love, and to choose to obey his creator. As we are told in Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God placed that man, the man that he had created, into a perfect environment on this earth. He constructed a garden paradise, a well-watered place called Eden, so that man might live and work and worship his creator forever in that place. And though it might come as a shock to you, the creation of the heavens and of the earth were not the primary focus. They were just a backdrop for the creation of man, for the creation of a group of people like us who would worship our Creator in the beauty of holiness, we're told in Psalm 96, verse 9. A people who would live in obedience to Him. But even in the perfection of that garden paradise that God had set apart for him when man was tested by God to see if he would love him, to see if he would obey him above all else. Well, we know what happened, don't we? He failed that test, just like we fail that test. Still, we are told in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 2, even knowing what was about to take place, God continued to provide a paradise for man, even knowing that man would rebel against him. Still, God cared for him. What a gracious God we serve. And so, we're told, God caused water to rise up from the deep, from deep within the earth. And that water produced a river. A river which flowed out of the Garden of Eden in order to water that garden with just the right amount of water each day so that it was lush and green and healthy, water for both the plants and for the animals. Fresh supply of water all of the time. And from there, it says, that river divided. Parah in Hebrew. It separated and it became four rivers, each one heading in its own direction. And it says in verse 11 that the name of the first river was called Pishon in Hebrew, a name which means to overflow. It was a turbulent river, a river that flowed to the south and then to the west. And it surrounded the whole land of Havilah, a word in Hebrew which means a place of sand. Perhaps in the area of the Arabian Desert, an area that is today in the country of Saudi Arabia. And the writer adds this, that it was a place where there was gold. Zahav in Hebrew, a word which means that which shines, that which is precious, that which does not tarnish or decay, that which is valuable and pure. Sounds a little like a description of God, doesn't it? And we're told in verse 12 that the gold of that land was good, tov in Hebrew, that it would prove to be beneficial and valuable to man. And so it is to this day. No one would disagree that gold is valuable to man. So how much more should God be of value to us? And it says that there was bdellium also found in that place. Bedolach in Hebrew, an aromatic, sweet smelling, yellowish gum resin that could be used as a perfume or as incense or even as a medicine. And in addition to that, in that place, it says there was the onyx stone, shoham in Hebrew, a word which means to make white, a gemstone of great beauty and of great value, a stone which many times is black, perhaps a picture of our need for salvation, our need to be cleansed of the blackness of our sin and to be made as white as snow. These were the things that were found there, things that were created by God for our benefit, perhaps even for our instruction. And we're told in verse 13 that the name of the second river was called Gihon in Hebrew, a word which means to burst forth or to give birth. And that river flowed to the west. And it surrounded the whole land of Cush, perhaps in what is today the country of Ethiopia. And, says in verse 14, that the name of the third river was Tigris, Hiddekel in Hebrew, word which means to flow rapidly, a river that flowed with fury from the northwest to the southeast, east of the land of Assyria. And the fourth river was called the Euphrates, Perath in Hebrew, a word which means to break forth, to be fruitful. And if these two rivers were where they are today, then the river Euphrates would have run parallel to the Tigris River. An abundance of water. Perhaps speaking of the abundance of water that is offered to us, the living water of Jesus Christ. This was the world into which man was brought forth by God. Then it says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man lachach. In Hebrew, he carried him to his new home. And he put him into that garden, the Garden of Eden. Nuach in Hebrew. He set him there. He set him at rest. He put him in a place of peace and of safety so that he would be content with all that God had provided for him. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be at rest. He wants us to be at peace, but we need to be at peace with him. And so he placed him there so that this man might dedicate himself to the Lord, to cultivate that garden, aved in Hebrew, so that he would work and he would serve the Lord with all of his heart, and so that he might keep it, shamer in Hebrew, so that he might diligently keep watch and obey the Lord and worship him with all of his heart. Push everything else aside. This is why man was created. And this is why we were created as well. How far? Look how far we have fallen. We are consumed with so many things that have no real value at all. And in verse 16, we find the first set of instructions that God gave to that man. He set before him life and death, the way that he has set life and death before all of us. It was a test. It was a test of love. It was a test of loyalty. It was a test of obedience. And here is the test. God had made the world for man. A world that was full of beauty, full of beautiful trees, full of beautiful things to look at. A world that was full of trees that were useful for food. A perfect world. But the Lord God, we are told, commanded the man, saying this: from any tree in the garden, you may eat freely. Eat whatever you want. But there is one tree in the garden. Just one. A special tree. A fruit tree. A tree that is off limits to you. You are prohibited from eating of that tree alone. And that tree, we are told, was called the knowledge of good and of evil. From this tree you shall not eat. This was not just a suggestion. This was a command from God himself. For God warned the man in verse 17, in the day that you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. We may think we know what is best for us, but God is the one who knows what is best for us. After all, he created us, and God does not lie, so we need to listen to him as he speaks to us through his word. We've been created with the capacity to understand the moral responsibility that we have to be obedient to him, so there is no excuse. And to love him, to worship him, to obey him through Christ Jesus our Lord, This will result in blessing, the blessing of God. But to disobey him, to ignore his command to come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, for the salvation of our soul, this will result in death, in spiritual death, and in physical death as well, in consequences that will follow us all the way into eternity unless we come to Christ for our salvation. It is simple. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Just as God has put the breath of life in us, so in an instant, that breath is gone. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The time to come to Christ is now.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.